God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives, because he lives. I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear
somebody say hallelujah. Woo. I'd hate to be living in this world without Jesus right now, wouldn't you? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Lord, speaking to me this morning about fear. Are you afraid to die? Are you fearing death? Do you fear man? Do you fear the devil? We got to stop with the fear. No fear. Face the truth. We live in a dangerous world. We live in dangerous times, perilous times. Tribulation, trouble, persecution is on the horizon, even greater. But God said in the midst of tribulation, what does he want us to do? Cry and whine? Be in fear and trembling? He wants us to rejoice Because even if they kill us, even if they kill us, we just step from this place to be with Jesus. And then we come back with him shortly. And even this body, he's going to raise up and make it like his glorious body that is eternal. So, folks, what do we have to be afraid of, to be sad about, to be worried about, to be fretting about? We want to know the truth. We don't want to be ignorant of what's going on in the world. We don't want to tempt the Lord and do stupid things and die before our time. But I do not fear death. And when you don't fear death, you can actually live this life. Amen? It was James that said that this life is but a vapor. It appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away. And what we've done as Christians, for some reason, maybe it's the prosperity preachers, I don't know, but the focus has gotten on this world. It's gotten on what we can attain here or what we can do here. And I tell you what, I think that's what's made so many Christians depressed. It's not about here. Everything we do here should be preparing for there. Amen. As old Leonard Ravenhill, the great prophet, used to say, that right now this is just a dressing room for eternity. That's all this is right here. So let's do this one again. I hate that it's only 4 minutes long. But let's do it again. Sing it out to him.
God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon, an empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives, because he lives, I can I'm no healing. He lives, I can face tomorrow, because He lives. All fear is gone, because I know the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And life is worth the living just because He lives.
Yes, hallelujah. Go ahead and praise Him this morning. Hallelujah. We worship You, Lord. We exalt You, Lord. We rejoice in this great salvation that You have given to us through Your precious, sinless blood that You shed on the cross, Lord. You made the way. And Lord, You said all we have to do is believe. We believe that You died for our sins and rose from the dead. And then we repent. We choose to follow You. And if we walk in the light as You are in the light, then the precious blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all of our sins. There's nothing better than that. Lord, we love You today. We thank You today. It's real to us today. Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. See, if you're born again, that right there is real. That's real to you. You know, He who is forgiven much, Jesus said, loves much, right? Well, guess what? All of us, if we were forgiven, we were forgiven a lot. We were forgiven much. The issue is that some people are aware of that, and some people don't seem to remember that, right? Hallelujah. I want to show you something. We're going to go through some scriptures this morning, but I want to go to Philippians this morning. I'll figure it out in a second. Hang on. Well, might help if I got out of Ephesians and got actually in Philippians. Y'all all right this morning? All right, here we go. Philippians chapter 1, I guess that's where we'll start this morning. There's so much, so many places to go. But folks, this is something I just really feel strongly this morning. We gotta shake all fear out of us. Fear is not of God. Can I go and tell you that? But fear manifests itself more in than just being afraid. Fear manifests itself in anxiety, fretting, fantasizing about things that might happen that probably won't. I mean, if you think about some of the things that you've worried about and fretted about and been in anxiety about, and then they didn't happen the way you thought it was going to happen. Now, who do you think was planting all that in your head? You think that was from God making you fearful and anxious and fretful and miserable, basically? No. See, fear, the spirit of fear is a demon spirit. And the spirit of fear will always come and talk to you. In fact, it's one of the most, I'd say one of the most faithful devils. Because it will try to make you fear everything and fear everybody and fear every situation. Christians are still, most Christians are still in fear about talking to somebody else about Jesus. Come on, man. Understand that's the spirit of fear. I tell people all the time, and I've said it for many years, you will conquer fear or fear will conquer you. There is no Switzerland. There's no middle ground. There's no neutral ground. Fear is your enemy, and it's going to rob from you joy and peace, and it will eventually rob your faith because faith and fear cannot exist together. If you are walking in faith, which means fully trusting the Lord Jesus with your life, with everything, then guess what? You do not fear. You do not fear what man. Jesus even said it. Do not fear what man can do to you. Do not fear even if they kill the body, he said. Don't fear them. He said the only thing you fear, fear God. Fear God. Fear God enough to respect him and obey him. But any other fear is of the devil. It is demonic. And something I felt the Lord saying to me strongly this morning during praise and worship. Stop fearing death. But that doesn't mean we become passive and submit to death. Death is the enemy. It is to be resisted. But we are not to be afraid of that day. Hebrews 9:27. What does that say? It's an appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So most of us, unless you are going to be in the rapture, which is at the very last day, at the end of the tribulation period, that's what Jesus taught. Unless you're going to be in that rapture, you have an appointment. Say, I have an appointment. And the question is going to be, number one question, all that matters, are you going to be ready for that day? Really ready? Because many people think they're ready, and they're not ready. You hear me? And that day's coming. I thought my day might have been coming in August. I got really close to it. Troy got close to it before that. COVID almost got us. But that wasn't our appointment yet. But you know the thing about it now, I was in such misery that I was like, it would be nice to just go on. But that wouldn't be good for my wife, my daughter, by the way. Everybody say happy birthday to Faith Marie. It is her 12th birthday today. My baby is 12. I'm old. I'm getting old. I got a baby 12 and 28 and 24. And I feel like an old guy now, right? Let me read this from Philippians, what Paul said here. And we'll go down to, goodness, it's all good. But verse 19. There's so much I can read, but I guess verse 19. He said, for I know this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. And Paul's like, I don't care how it is, as long as Jesus is glorified through me, I don't care if it's by living for him or if I have to die for him. I don't care. See, this is what I'm talking about. Christians have got to get this mindset that when you became a Christian, you pretty much signed your death warrant. That's true Christianity because the world hates you. They hate you. They want you dead. They want you gone. OK, could read Psalm 2 when it says the kings of the earth get together and they conspire. Oh my, there's that thing about conspiracy. They conspire to be against the Lord and against his anointed. And he says they're cast away their cords from us and their bands. We don't want them. Is what the world says about true, born-again, Bible-believing Christians. They hate us. And they hate Jesus because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And he is the light of the world. And he exposes their evil, their wickedness, and just exposes every evil, dark thing that's in their heart and mind. And they hate that. And they hate the true church that preaches the word and exposes the sins and wickedness and evil of their system. They hate us. They want us dead and gone. And that's okay. You know what we do? Jesus said, love your enemies. Bless them. Pray for them. Because you know what? Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul, was a Christian killer, persecutor. And I believe that he is saved today, not just because it was God's will for him to be. God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But I believe the church obeyed Jesus, and when Saul became their number one enemy, he also became their number one focus of prayer. And look at what he became. And he's the one saying here, verse 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not, for I am in a strait between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Do you see the mindset of Paul? I would rather go be with Jesus. Meaning, I would rather die and just go be with him, but I got a job to do, and it's more important that I stay here so I can help you. That should be all of us, that should be our mentality. I would rather go be with Jesus. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes in prayer, I say, Lord, I really, 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 really miss you. Because no matter what, it's not the same down here as it's going to be up there with him. And I've had those times when I have been with him. And he doesn't let us walk. You know, I've had those times where heaven was open. I remember October 1987, I've shared this. Heaven was open. It was in my room, the glory of God. The wall opened up. I could see into heaven. It was like there was an open window. And I could see Jesus standing there. I could see the glory of the Father. I could see the wings of the Holy Spirit stretched out over Jesus. The power of God in that moment was so strong, I did not think my physical body could take any more of it. And I knew I was seeing the revelation, the manifestation of God. And God is one, but he is a triune being. He is three very distinct parts, but he's one God. And the only physical thing you see, the only physical manifestation of God Almighty is Jesus. Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And I was seeing this. And the power of God and the presence of God and the peace of God was unbelievable. I knew I was experiencing heaven. In fact, it was so strong. At that time, you know, I'm 19 years old, and I'm just now figuring out that we're living in the last days, and I'm like, is Jesus coming? Is this it? I mean, that's how strong it was. Because when you're at, you know, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and the lights are off in your room, and one side of the room lights up and opens up, and you're seeing into heaven, and you say, well, oh, that's weird. No, this is exactly what Ezekiel saw. It's exactly what Stephen saw when he was being stoned. You say, well, why did he let you see that? Well, part of it because he called me to be a prophet. And prophets, he said, a prophet that's seen nothing is a false prophet. I've seen him. I've seen heaven. I've seen angels. I've seen hell. I have seen demons. I don't think there's anybody that should even be in the pulpit that actually hadn't been with him like that. All right? But he doesn't allow even fivefold ministers, apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. He doesn't even allow us to live that way 24/7. We have to end up, we have to walk by faith and not by sight like everybody else. But there's been those times that he's been, I've had Jesus, look, I was sitting in church, I know, I'm going to tell you, the Bible says that young men will see visions and old men will dream dreams. I've had Jesus walk up to me in church services. I've seen him walk up, just like this, walk up to me and put his hand on my shoulder, like that, and tell me stuff. Now, I don't see him like I see you. I mean, I could see through him, but I could see him walk up, tell me things. I've seen demons on people, too. It's real. I've seen, while preaching on a sermon years ago on hell and who goes there, I remember it was Evangel Temple in Montgomery. I'll tell on them. But there was a row that I knew was a bunch of fornicators on. In fact, I knew that it was about four or five of them that I knew was in sexual sin sitting in this row. And while I'm preaching, I see the flames of hell coming up out of the floor, surrounding them. And you know what's so bad? They thought they were ready. So I've seen some things. But you have to walk by faith. But I reflect on those times and go, Lord, to be with you is far better. Oh, it's far better than anything in this world. I've done all the things you can do in this world, the drugs and the partying and the drinking and I've done it all. I did all that stuff. And nothing compares to the power and the presence and the peace and the joy of just the presence of God. I can't even imagine when we have a body, a resurrected, redeemed, eternal body that can handle more. Because in that vision I had in 1987, I had to tell the Lord, I said, I can't take any more. I literally, my body could not handle. It wasn't painful. I just knew I was about to be out. I was about to be a little jello pile on the floor. But we have to walk by faith. But he says to be with you. I don't know about y'all, but there's times I say, Lord, I want to be with you. But I don't want to leave my wife. I don't want to leave my daughters. I don't want to leave my church. And so then I end up saying, well, Lord, help me finish the course. I want to do everything that you have for me to do here, and then I want out of here. I want to be with you. And last night when I was praying, I said, Lord, all I want to do is be with you for all eternity. And I don't want anything here to keep me from that. Is that the longing and yearning of your heart to be with him? See, that's, to me, it's what it's all about. Do you love Jesus that much? Do you love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Is he really number one over your spouse, over your children, over your home, your property, your money, your job? Is he really number one? And at the end of all this, the end of your life, or when he does return, that's the only thing that's going to matter. Do you have that mentality? I want to turn to another scripture this morning, the passage the Lord laid on my heart during worship. Go to Matthew 7. Probably the scariest verses in Matthew. Somebody say the scary verses are good for me. See, there's verses that are candy and ice cream, sweet and nice. Then there's the meat and potatoes and vegetables, the broccoli. Here's what he said. Let's read this. Verse 21. I remember reading this, and this put the fear of God in my heart. Fear of God's a good thing. Fear of God means you believe he'll do what he says he will do. The people who don't fear God don't believe that. They're like, I'll be all right. No, you better read what he said, because he means what he says, every word. Jesus said this, not everyone that saith unto me. Now, oh, it's interesting, the word saith, the verb saith. Guess what that is, folks? Present tense Greek verb, exactly, ongoing, continuous action, taking place in the present. So this is not somebody who said, Jesus, you're my Lord. This is somebody who's continually saying it. That sounds like a Christian to me, doesn't it? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, there have been people that use this right here to say, because he said, I never knew you, they've used this to say, well, these people never were Christians. But I'm going to tell you why this is not true. Well, I'm going to show you, too. Because I can tell you this right now, a non-Christian who's never been born again does not have the power or the authority or the ability to cast demons out of people. Nope. An unbeliever can't do it. Remember Acts 19, the sons of Sceva, the sons of the priest tried to cast demons out of the person. And what happened? It went real bad for them. Right? It doesn't work. Only believers can do this. Now let me show you what he's talking about. Let's turn to Acts chapter 18. Hold your spot here in Matthew. We're coming back to it. Remember, we have to... You're going to establish doctrine. It has to be, you have to let the Bible interpret the Bible, not your own interpretation, right? So Ezekiel chapter 18, did I say Acts? I'm sorry, I meant Ezekiel. I don't know why Acts is on my mind. I guess because I was thinking about Acts 19. 18, here we go. We're going to start at verse 21. And he says here, but if the wicked will turn from his sins that he hath committed and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions that he has committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. And in his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. So he's saying here, guess what? The good news, which is a New Testament principle. If you are born again, if you've repented of your sins, if you've asked for forgiveness and turned from your sins, the Bible tells us that God says not only does he forgive you, but he remembers them no more. Think about that. I could bring up something to the Lord I did when I was a stupid teenager, and he'd go, well, what are you talking about? You say, well, how does he do that? I don't know. He's God. He can do what he wants. But he says this, he says, have I any, verse 23, and this is another principle I love. The Lord says, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? And like the Lord says, I don't want them dying. And when he's talking about death, remember we're not talking about just physical death. We're talking about eternal separation from God in hell. That's eternal damnation. Death is not ceasing to exist. It's being separated from God, who is life. But you will live forever, either in heaven with the Lord and in his kingdom or in hell. That's it. There is no other place. Now he goes on. Let's keep going. He says, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? So God said, all I want is people to repent from their evil ways and come back to me. Principle this, you say, New Testament principle, 2 Peter 3. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So let's keep going here. Verse 24. But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations of the wicked man that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness, and here's what I wanted to point out to you, all his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespasses that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he has sinned, in them he shall die. Let's go to verse 26 and read on down. Actually, I'll tell you what, I want to skip over too. I want to go to, this is in Ezekiel 18. It's also in Ezekiel 33. Very good, sir. Yeah, somebody here knows the Bible. I like that. Jason knows the word. That's good. Let's look at this. Verse 13. 33:13. Ooh. 33 and a 13. That's scary, isn't it? That just made a Freemason shudder somewhere right there. Yeah, listen up, Freemason. What did I say? Verse 13, that's right. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trusts to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered. Somebody say, shall not be remembered. So meaning you could live for Jesus. Let's go back to Matthew 7. You can live for Jesus, prophesy in his name, cast out demons. Say he's my Lord from the time you're able to talk until the day of your death or judgment day. You could be saying Jesus is my Lord. You could be saying you cast out devils and prophesied in his name. But if you chose to live in sin, habitual sin, a lifestyle of sin, committeth, present tense, if you choose that, then what does he say? He says, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Why? I never knew you. Because everything good you ever done is gone. It's wiped from God. God wipes it from his memory. Think about that. Now, it's good to have your sins forgiven and wiped away and forgotten and not remembered anymore. But you don't want your righteousness and everything you've done to turn to the Lord and follow the Lord and serve the Lord, you don't want that to be forgotten and washed away and wiped away. See, to me, this is what's so frightening for so many people. It's because their pastors, their Sunday school teachers, Christians around them do not tell them. They don't tell them any of this. And that ought to bother you. See, I determined a long time ago, say, Pastor Dean, why are you, you know, we've got thousands of people that watch that just are, I get sweet emails and messages and, you know, I talk about the bad ones sometimes, but I get a lot, thank you for preaching the truth. Thank you for telling me I got saved because of this or I got out of my sin because of this. I mean, I get those all the time from people. And they say, Pastor Dean, this just pastors don't even talk about this stuff anymore. They don't talk. Well, it's like about drinking and drunkenness. They don't even talk about it. Don't even talk about it being a sin that you need to repent of. They don't talk about it anymore. And I said, I really, on Judgment Day, they're going to be, you know what, here's what's going to happen to these preachers on Judgment Day that haven't told you the whole truth. What they're going to do is they're going to be standing there before the Lord. I see it. They're going to be standing there before the Lord, and their mouths are going to be shut because there's going to be no excuse because there's going to be full revelation and understanding of what, that's why it says in Romans, every mouth will be stopped. There won't be any arguing, fussing, trying to justify, trying to plead your case. No, no. But what they're going to do is, as the Lord is judging them, they're going to look down at their hands. And you know what they're going to see on their hands? Blood. They're going to see the blood of everybody who died under their preaching that went to hell. And that's why they're going to hell. That's why they're going to a worse place in hell. How many know there's degrees of punishment in hell? The Bible teaches that. Some of them are going to be in the lowest parts. I read the book, Divine Revelation of Hell. A woman had a vision of hell, wrote about it. I remember she talked about the preacher who Jesus walked by, and he's giving this lady a tour of hell. Said this preacher had his hands like this, like he was reading the Bible, and he's walking back and forth in his little pit he was in, a fire and brimstone. And he's walking back and forth, and he's acting like he's preaching. And then all of a sudden he recognizes that Jesus is there, and he starts crying out, "Lord, I'll preach your word now." You know what the Lord said to him? The judgment is set. Yeah, there's nothing that can be done now, son. You had your chance. The decisions you make, the choices you have to make in this life. Because it has to be done by faith. It has to be done by faith in the Word of God. So this is scary to me. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Don't let that be you. See, we're talking about that appointment earlier. Everybody's got an appointment with death. We're all going to die, or some of us will stand here when Jesus returns. But at that moment, there's no change in anything. You will give an account. I remember Leonard Ravenhill. I love Leonard Ravenhill. Why his books, Why Revival Tarries, 1959. You want to talk about a scary book? Sodom had no Bible. Oh. They're suffering the vengeance of eternal fire, and they didn't even have this book to warn them. What do you think we get if we neglect so great salvation? Sodom had no Bible. That's the kind of books prophets write right there. Sodom had no Bible. But he used to say it all the time. He'd say, it's not the things that I've done that scares me. It's the things that I haven't done. Did I use the life that I was given to live for Jesus all the way? Or did I let fear, because it's not always lust. It's not always greed. It's not always drunkenness or adultery or fornication. No, sometimes you hear what I'm saying. One of the scariest verses is just neglect. Let's go to that one. Y'all want to go to that one? Hebrews chapter 2. Because this verse was on my mind, or this passage right here. You want a book that'll help you stay right with the Lord? That's Hebrews. Because he's telling these Hebrew Christians that got saved but were under such persecution and pressure to return to Judaism. And he's telling them, don't do it. He even told them, yeah, I know you love Moses' house, but now it's about Jesus' house. That's for you Torah heads out there. Moses' house or Jesus' house? I pick Jesus' house. All right? There is an old covenant and there's a new covenant. We're in the new covenant. Chapter 2, verse 1. Let's look at this. He says, therefore, talking to Christians. Well, when he says we, I believe the Apostle Paul wrote this, the book of Hebrews, and most scholars do. When you say we, what do you mean? If I say we, me and you, I'm including myself. So he's talking to Christians. He says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. How shall we escape if we neglect? Somebody say neglect. Does that sound like leaving to live in the pig pen? Or just not seeking the Lord, not loving the Lord, not trying to find what he wants you to do with your life? Look, you have to be diligent. Some of you were here. We had fellowship, you know, on New Year's Eve, fellowship for a little while. We came up here about 10:30, 11 o'clock, had a prayer time, and then we did communion around midnight as we moved into the new year. But as we were having prayer time, and I shared this with everybody, I've been going through a bit of a struggle just in my own prayer life, just feeling like the Lord is a million miles away. Anybody ever felt like that? Feeling like, you know, I told the Lord one day, I said, I feel like I'm, you know, knee deep in a swamp and I can't, I'm getting nowhere. And so, you know, but I constantly seek the Lord. I constantly ask him, Lord, show me if there's anything wrong I need to deal with. Recently, he showed me somebody I needed to forgive and deal with, and I dealt with that. We're praying, and it's just God's mercy. But I'd been asking him the week, I'm like, why are you a million miles away? Why do I feel like I'm dwelling in a dry land? And he just told me, as plain as day, I was sitting in a chair right there. He said, you haven't obeyed me. Son, you haven't obeyed me. And then he reminded me of what he had told me about three or four times that I kind of shrugged off. You know, see, I did that one time before when he told me to write the book, The Polluted Church. I kind of said, I don't have time. And so, you know, when I tore my Achilles and had to sit on the couch with my foot up for 6 months, the Lord said, now you have time. So I wrote the book, and I still limp because of that. So I've had my Jacob moment, right? I got a limp to remind me, but we're all human, right? And so the Lord had been telling me for some time that he wanted me to start at least once a month to do a prophetic meeting where we come in, we worship a little while, and give opportunity to minister prophetically to people, right? Because that's part of my calling. But I didn't want to do it. I was like, Lord, I got too much to do. Guess what? That's never an excuse to disobey. That's like a child. You tell them to clean up their room and they go, well, I got to go do my homework. Well, that's fine and dandy. You got your homework and your room. It's not one or the other. You got both. And obviously the Lord thinks I can handle it. Well, I don't feel like I can handle it sometimes. But he showed me, you know, and I was like, oh, God. You know. I was like, you know, Psalm 68, the rebellious dwell in the dry land. So he'd been telling me to do something, and I didn't want to do it, so I just push it off. And you know what the Lord does? I'll tell you right now. He'll tell you to do something, and you won't do it. He'll walk off. He won't just badger you, but he'll just walk off. Okay, hardhead, we'll start drying you up and see what happens. No, that's trouble. Because you start drying up, you start getting cranky, grumpy, depressed, discouraged. The only place of joy and happiness is obedience. And the moment I said, okay, I was sitting there, Lord, I'm sorry. I pushed this off and pushed this off, but all right, I'll do it. Moment I said, peace of God comes back. Moment I say yes, I feel a complete shift in my spirit. I feel life again, peace again. And this is what I'm talking about. But that's because, you know, I had to overcome my own resistance. And that's what I talk about, seeking God, seeking after his will for you. You got to do what God's called you to do. You got to walk with him and be persistent about hearing his voice and saying, Lord, show me what I'm supposed to do. That's why he said in that passage in Matthew, it's about those who do the will of God. Again, it's not about do good works or give to this charity or that charity. It's not about good works you can come up with in your own mind. It's about being close enough to the Lord that you hear what he wants you to do and you do it because you're in that place because you have a relationship with him. And he always has a journey for you. He always, and if you're listening to him, I promise you this, he's always going to stretch you further than you think you can be stretched. Because if you could do it in your own strength, you wouldn't need him. You know, I remember when he told me to start having the Skyfall conferences. I'd never done that before. It's terrifying to rent a place that seats 400 people and you don't know if two are going to show up or not. And you step out there in faith and you do it. I'd never started a Bible ministry school before. Like, how do you do this? Just follow me. Let me tell you, you want to talk about that year of developing the curriculum and the classes? I thought I was going to die some days. And they know, a lot of you know the truth. I was preparing, like we had classes on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And I would be preparing a class for Tuesday on Monday, come in here and teach for 2 hours, go to my office and work on the class for Wednesday on Tuesday. And we're talking about 2-hour classes, PowerPoint stuff. I was like, whew. But obviously, the Lord wanted me to, he wanted me to do it. And I tell, that's what I tell Faith all the time. I was like, you know, it's work. And sometimes work is not 8 hours and you're done. Sometimes it's 16-hour days. You know, this younger generation, they don't know nothing about that, right? Or staying up all night trying to get a book to a publisher and stuff like that. Working all night for several days. But you get the job done for the Lord, period. But that's what I'm talking about. The Lord will stretch you. He's stretching me beyond, oh, Lord, running for governor of Alabama. I'm like, Lord, why couldn't it have been a little congressional district? That's only one little part of the state, not the whole state. No, I want you to run for governor. Okay. How, you know, you want to talk about feeling overwhelmed? I feel overwhelmed. Now, start having prophetic services. Okay. All right. But see, again, he's going to constantly give us things to do. Like, Bucko's in Hawaii. Hawaii! Who leaves Hawaii to come to Opelika, Alabama? But the Lord told him. You see what I'm saying? But that's part of his journey. And the Lord, and this is what I'm talking about. A lot of people are bored in their Christianity. They're like, God, well, God's not doing anything with me. Well, what are you doing with him? Are you really seeking him and praying and asking him, show me, what's the next part of my journey? That's where the adventures happen. Just like this morning, I got to tell Faith, well, how did that come up? Something about the garden tomb, the tomb of Jesus. And I said, I've been there. I've been there. I hung out in there. And I started telling her the story about being in Israel. I got to go get smuggled into a secret church meeting of converted Arabs in the middle of the old city in the Arab quarter, where I had to sit on the back row and have a translator translate from Arabic for me so I could hear it. But had Muslims found out that were just in that area that there was a church meeting going on of converted Muslims, they would have killed everybody. And I'm sitting in there listening to this converted Muslim who's now a preacher preaching to this little group that's having to meet in secret in Jerusalem. How did I get to have that adventure? God said, go to Israel. And I had no money or passport, nothing. And he said, go. And everything came together for me to go. The money, everything came together for me to go. And I think about that adventure, leading an atheist to Jesus in the garden tomb where Jesus rose from the dead. Anybody got a story like that? Why do I have a story like that? Because I obeyed and I went. I remember one night the Lord told me, he said, go get your new converts. I was here in Opelika. Go get your new converts. I had about five or six of them. And take them to the mall. Then I guess it's still Village Mall, but go to the mall. But that's when the mall used to be every place, every store in it. There was just stores everywhere and people everywhere. It was hopping. You know, that was the place to be, place to go. And, of course, it's private property, so you're not supposed to preach and hand out tracts there. But we disregarded that rule. And we would go there and hand out tracts and talk to Jesus. But that particular night, I remember the Lord telling me to go that particular night. So I went and got my buddies that I'd led to Jesus. And I said, look, we're going out to the mall witnessing, but we're going to pray first. So we went and prayed. We got our tracts and stuff, and we went to Village Mall in Auburn. Before that night was over, we're at the front door, the main entrance. There used to be steps there and stuff. It's all changed now. But we sat on those steps with 9 teenagers, three boys and 6 girls, all in high school age, and led them to Jesus, tears running down their face, crying their eyeballs out. Why do I have that story? Because I didn't let fear stop me. And that's what I'm talking about. Christianity is a walk. Christianity, God has a plan. And your plan's different than my plan that he has for me. You got to do what he wants you to do. But the only way you know that is to be with him. And you got to be with him. I can't stress it enough. You got to read this book. You got to know what's in here. Are you going to be found guilty of neglecting this great salvation that we have? Or letting fear, you know, the what's that? Look up that verse for me. I think it's Proverbs 25. Fear of man brings a snare. We just can't fear. And that's something I felt today very strongly, is that we have got to conquer fear and do what God has told us to do. Do y'all think that I wanted to face all the attacks, mocking, ridicule by running for governor as a minister, as a Bible-believing minister that's running for governor? Oh, the press. I hate the press. I so hate the press. Not people, just the press. You know what? I thought there was some honest press, but there's not. Not even the conservative ones in this. They're not. The conservative talk show radio host, the conservative, even the new one that claims to be conservative. They're not honest. They're biased. They want to censor things just like. So we're just living in time again. It's just insane. But we will either be the light or we will hide it under a bushel. Remember that little song from Sunday school? No. Let it shine. Right? I don't know. I just felt today just to share my heart with you about these things. You know, and that's something I tell some of our students, our younger people. Preaching is not just talking about this. Preaching and teaching and leading, you share what's going on in your own life, the good and the bad, right? It's really helpful. I think it's helpful for y'all to know I struggle just like you do. Ain't nobody in here immune from the struggles and the spiritual warfare and temptation and attacks and fear and depression and doubt. We all of us get attacked. I get attacked with it too. Sometimes I've told y'all I want to run away and crawl under a rock somewhere or move to, you know, Aruba or something and just say, I'm gone, I'm out. Y'all y'all have fun with it. I'm done, you know. Yeah, it will be. You know, you can run from the Lord, and you know what happens. You go down into the ship. Then you go down into the boat. And then you go down into the ocean. Then you go down into the fish's belly. And then you vomit. And you're bleached white from stomach gases and digestive juices and then seaweed wrapped around your head. You spit out somewhere. Now go do it. See, before you could have done it looking nice, but now you got to do it after being spit out of the whale's, the great fish's mouth. So you can do it the easy way. You can do it the hard way. And believe me, I've done both in my life. I've done it the hard way, and I have been chewed up and spit out. And, yeah, I'm done running. I won't run from the Lord ever again. No, there's no running. But I don't want to be deceived by the devil and neglect, you know. And it's easy to do. It's easy to get busy with life and neglect. Neglect him. Neglect his will. Neglect his plan. And I know, you know, we got busy lives. We have jobs and children and bills to pay. And, you know, life's got all of its challenges and it's getting worse. Yeah, I know this right here message is really done, but I do want to give you this news update. So let's get that video ready. I want y'all to see this, and then I hope nobody's in a hurry this morning. All right. Actually, it's afternoon now. But just so you know what's going on, some of you may have seen this, some of you may not. But this is everything I've been warning about. Everything that us crazy conspiracy theorists have been warning about since COVID began, about the vaccines and mandates and the vaccines killing people, is all being found out now. This is the latest thing. So this is Greg Reese's video here. So let's watch this. He does it. I've actually, just so you know, I've actually listened to the two doctors two doctors. I'll give you a little brief on this. Two doctors just did autopsies on 70 people that died right after having the vaccine, most of which were not labeled as dying from the vaccine, but something else. So these doctors, these are top pathologists and a top microbiologist in Germany, and they found that the people died from the vaccine, that their vaccine caused the immune system to attack their heart, their liver, their lungs. And they said 40% of the people that's taken the vaccine so far have died from it. So let's watch this real quick, and y'all give it a little news update.
Internationally recognized leading pathologist Dr. Arne Burkhardt and renowned expert in the fields of microbiology and infectious diseases, Dr. Sukarit Bhakti, recently published irrefutable evidence that the mRNA shots are killing at least 40% of recipients. First, they explain why the experimental agents cannot protect against a viral infection. which we already know to be true by the overwhelming evidence and admissions that the more vaxxed up a person is, the more likely they are to get COVID. Doctors Burhart and Bhakti explain that this is due to the fact that the so-called vaccines sway the body into producing antibodies in the blood, but not within the mucous membranes that normally protect our respiratory tract. This is why the vaccinated are suffering what they call breakthrough infections. The COVID vaccines are turning off lymphocyte production where they need it the most, while amping it up in the bloodstream, which is where it gets much worse. For those without the vaccine, a natural infection with SARS-CoV-2 will in most cases remain localized to the respiratory tract. But for those who have been vaccinated, unrelated cells deep inside the body react to the respiratory infection by creating a new spike protein, which then causes the cell that created it to be attacked by the immune system. Experts warned us of this last year, and now it is clearly seen in the evidence. Doctors Burhart and Bhakti found this autoimmune disease present in most organs, but mostly in the heart, which helps explain why we are seeing so many cases of myocarditis and cardiac arrest. The vaccines trigger self-destruction. Analysis has now been performed on the organs of over 70 people who died after vaccination and who died for reasons officially unrelated to the vaccines. In most cases, arrhythmogenic heart failure was postulated as the cause of death, a mystery which has now been solved. What they found was inflammatory events in small blood vessels, characterized by an overabundance of T lymphocytes and dead cells, usually accompanied by tissue destruction. In other words, immunological self-attack. The evidence clearly shows that both mRNA and vector-based vaccines from all four manufacturers are inducing autoimmune disease in multiple organs, mostly the heart, followed by the lung, liver, thyroid, and brain.
These data are so damning that you don't have to start looking for other data to know that these vaccines are killing the young and the old. So the children are set up against the wall and they shoot. These damn people are shooting and they're killing our children. I can't stand it. We have a four-year-old son and we're going to flee this damn country because we are not going to let himself be shot.
Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
That's one of the top microbiologists in the world, 300 published papers. And that was Bhakti himself saying, I will leave Germany before I let them give my child this vaccine. Recently, Dr. Robert Malone, who created the mRNA technology, gave a similar thing. To parents, whatever you do, do not give this to your children. But what we knew all along, what they've tried to bury and hide and censor, we're seeing it happen. So again, this is one of those things of not trying to show you this to make you fear or fret to be wise. Whatever you do, do not take this vaccine. If you have, do not take any more boosters. You are asking for a world of hurt and trouble. And in the days ahead, I believe we're going to see many, many more deaths, probably to the point of, if that's 40%, remember, this may be, folks, this may be the event of the sixth trumpet where it says one-third of mankind dies. Because this is biological war that's been released upon us. And it's interesting, he said four angels would be released. Now, those are four fallen angels that were bound in the river Euphrates. He said four will be released. Isn't it interesting that there's four vaccine companies, the main ones? It's very interesting. And all of them, Johnson & Johnson, AstraZeneca, Moderna, Pfizer, they're all killing people and causing blood clots and just numerous other problems. But folks, this is going to be in 2022 and 2023, we're going to see mass death. And so This is not, again, to be afraid, but we don't tempt the Lord. Remember when Satan came to Jesus and he said, you know, cast yourself down from here. You know that temptation? And he misquotes Psalm 91, that the angels will bear you up, lest at any time you dash. That's not what God said, right, in Psalm 91. But basically he said when Jesus rebuked him, he said, you don't tempt the Lord. And there are people out there, well, I'm just going to take it and God will protect me. No, no, stupid one. No, no. Or I use the King James word for stupid, brutish, yeah. Brutish one. All right? No. It's the same principle of busy highway, you don't stand in the road. Yeah. Right? Oh, the Lord will protect me. No, get out of the road, fool. Right? You don't get hit by a car, get out of the road. I can just go and tell you right now, my family will not, under any circumstances. If somebody came up and told you Dean Odell got the vaccine, they have killed me and there is a clone about, all right? I am not, it is not me. You understand? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's I'm doing, you know, and that's why, look, you know, folks, I tell you, this is not even political, folks, because before I decided to run for governor, before it was even in my mind to run for governor, I have been speaking out against the problems with vaccines, pharmaceutical companies, and very early in this whole COVID crisis, I mean very, very early, I was warning they're going to come out with a vaccine and it's going to be bad news. And you just think about the ones that are already bad news. And then they're going to come up with some new gene therapy that they're not even going to have time to really, they're really testing it on us. I mean, one of the craziest things, what was it? The FDA, CDC guy. I've got the video somewhere. But the CDC guy who said basically, yeah, we don't know what it's going to do to children. We have to just give it to them. We'll see what happens. Yeah, this is the cuckoo land we live in, right? So protect your children, protect yourself. And we're, you know, those who resist this are going to be highly persecuted, which again makes no sense because if you believe your vaccine works, I'm no danger to you if I'm unvaccinated. So, you know, our present governor said, the unvaccinated are letting us down. You know, they're not like us regular folks. And I'm sitting here going, how are the unvaccinated letting you down? Me being unvaccinated is no threat to you if your vaccine works. But guess what? We know now. Your vaccine doesn't work, right? It doesn't work. And here's the thing, folks. Before in these last few weeks, I could say, well, I didn't know anyone personally who's had the vaccine and had COVID. I've been hearing it all over the world, right? Israel and Gibraltar and Iceland and everywhere. But now I know people. I know people double vaccinated, sick with COVID. Oh, they say, well, you're not going to die from it. You just have well, they're going to the hospital. And some of them are dying. And more is going to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And for those of you if you couldn't hear Pastor Troy, he was talking about the NBA made all their players get the vaccine. Kyrie Irving, you know, only one. He also agrees with us on the shape of the earth, by the way. So he said, Kyrie knows what's going on, doesn't he? He knows what's going on. Yeah, but he's saying they're having to cancel games, and all of them are vaccinated. And I'm getting reports from friends. Like I said, a friend of mine works in a hospital in another state. I promised I wouldn't tell who and where, but she said, again, 35, there were 60 COVID cases, 35 were vaccinated, 25 were not. The 35 who were vaccinated died of COVID, in the hospital, the 25 who were unvaccinated did not die. This is a fact. Yeah, natural immunity is better. So that's your news update for the day as well. Greg Reese puts out, I love, he puts out like 3 to 5, 6 minute videos pretty regularly, and I just love, he makes it very succinct for us. But you can go to that, what was it, COVID ethics doctors, whatever it was on the screen. But just look up Greg Reese, the Greg Reese Report, and then you can look up and go to the website of the doctors who are, who did the autopsies. So, you know, they should have been doing this all along. Anybody that died anywhere within months of having a vaccine, there should have been autopsies done. But they were trying to cover up what's really doing it. And we will never know. We will never know how many people have died from heart attacks, strokes, blood clots, brain aneurysms. What do you name it? We will never know. But this is what's going on. And here's the deal, folks, anyway. You can say, oh, well, it's a 1 in 1,000 chance. Well, guess what? I don't pick up a revolver and put a bullet in it and spin it and go, oh, let's have fun. Click. Why would I do that with my health? Because there's certain things, once you damage your health, you don't get back unless God does a miracle for you. Oh, and the side effect of dying. You know, I want to go be with Jesus, but I don't want to go because I was stupid. I mean, can you imagine the Lord going, what were you thinking? You trusted them? Why didn't you trust me? Well, I wanted to keep my job, Lord. Okay. Yeah. You know, and that's a sad thing. There's going to be people taken out before their time because they stand in the middle of the road. You know? Christians, too. Christians that mean well, there's a lot of Christians out there that mean well, folks, but they're just... resist the truth about these things. Anyway, let's stand this morning. It's only 12:15. Goodness. Oh, I don't know. We need to do a song, don't we? Y'all want to do a song before we leave? Happy birthday to Faith Marie. And then Jordan. Jordan's birthday is on the 4th, so everybody tell Jordan an early happy birthday. Nancy's on the 8th. Tell her happy birthday. Anybody else got a birthday in January? Any more January? January? What day? 26th. All right. Arlie is the, okay. Sweet. Yeah, that's what Bear was born in January, because I got him on Valentine's, and he was 6 weeks old, so he was born in January at some point. What's that? February 15th, that's right after Valentine's Day. All right, well, let's do something good. Let's do Crushing Snakes. I agree, let's do that one. We'll go out with a bang this morning. Hallelujah. You know what? That song was on my mind. Yeah, crank it up. What? Crank it up. Come on. Huh? Let's do it. Bye, y'all. Well, we get it for every song we play. We get it for the Crowder song we played earlier. Yeah. They silence us. Oh, we can't pull. But this is a good one. All right. Come on. It's a little jamming, but that's all right. It gets me fired up.
We're not afraid. Arrows that fly by day. 10,000 may fall, but we will remain.
Exalt you, we worship you. We know you're going to tear through that sky, that firmament dome one day, and you're going to return to this place. And Lord, we're going to be with you that day. We've determined we're going to be with you that day. We love you, we bless you, we praise you. Lord, I ask you to just touch your people, strengthen them, give them boldness, help them all to not neglect this great salvation. Lord, we rebuke fear. We will live for you boldly in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, you hug some necks before you leave. And if you want to hang out and go get you something to eat and come downstairs. Oh, bye, folks. I thought we were gone already. Bye, y'all.